Welcome to the Blue Sky Podcast,
brought to you by Cambridge University Science Magazine.
I'm Ruby.
And I'm Simone.
Every 2 weeks, we speak to local researchers, university staff and students, and anyone who works in science to learn about their research and activities, hear about the work that they do, and uncover what goes on behind the scenes.
If you want to get in touch with a question, suggestion, or just want to be featured on the podcast, just drop us a tweet. Our handle is @BlueSciPod.
And you can also email us at bluescipodcast@gmail.com.
The Blue Sky Podcast is sponsored by Griner Bio One. Visit gbo.com and discover their latest easy strainer cell sieves designed for the filtration of cell suspensions and primary cell isolates.
The Blue Sky Podcast is sponsored by Nature Careers. If you get a chance, take a look at Nature Careers' new funding website, which collates thousands of international funding and grant opportunities. So whether you're looking for an undergrad or postgrad scholarship, fellowships, or funding for a project, try a search at naturecareersfunding.com. Welcome to the podcast. So this week we're talking to two team members from the Africans in STEM organisation. We spoke to Cynthia Okoye and Sandile Mtetwa, and they're PhD students at the University of Cambridge. And as part of the Africans in STEM initiative, which is there to sort of provide a platform for Africans across STEM disciplines to network, collaborate and share ideas, both locally and globally. So hope you enjoy this episode. It's really interesting and really fascinating to learn about the work that Africans in STEM does, both in Cambridge and further afield. Welcome, Cynthia and Sandile. Thank you so much for joining us today for the podcast. Would you like to start us off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourselves and what you do?
Okay, my name is Sandile Mtetwa, and I'm a third year PhD student in the Department of Chemistry at the University of Cambridge. So I am one of the co-leads of Africans in STEM, and I am from Zimbabwe.
And hi, I'm Cynthia. I am also a third year PhD student. I am in the Department of Pharmacology, and I am Nigerian, and I also co-lead Africans in STEM with Sandile.
Could you share a little bit about what you're studying for your PhDs and maybe what you plan to do next?
I'm doing a PhD in pharmacology, and my PhD project is looking to design peptide and protein molecules that can target other proteins that are implicated in disease. So we are focusing particularly on cancers. And we're using this sort of PROTAC machinery, which is a relatively new sort of class of drugs that work by hijacking the natural degradation machinery in our bodies to target proteins for ubiquitination and destruction. So that's what my PhD is on. So I do a lot of molecular biology work and working with cell lines, tissue culture, microscopy, and all of that. I'm halfway through my PhD now, so yes, I've started to think about post-Cambridge. I think I'm pretty open to academia versus industry. I don't really have a strong preference, but I mean, definitely some sort of postdoctoral fellowship afterwards is what I'm looking to.
So I am looking at materials that are conductive or semiconductive and can be used to produce energy, renewable energy, or they can be used to sense toxic gases. So these materials are called metal organic frameworks. And I mean, they have a lot of, you know, desirable traits, and they are relatively new materials. So my role is to be able to identify novel materials that have not been looked at before and that have not been applied to, you know, these applications I spoke of. My interest really is in renewable energies, especially hydrogen energy. So my part in this is looking at the semiconductive nature of these materials and how they can split water via photocatalysis and then producing the hydrogen as an energy carrier. So After my PhD, I think I'm really interested in social enterprise. I think that's something else I also do on the side. I'm also quite heavily involved in how to effectively turn research into some commercialization aspect or some enterprise aspect, and also being able to look at ways to develop low cost, you know, easily used things, especially for the developing world. And my interest is really in Africa. I think way post PhD, I think I would really want to be involved in policy framework or policy reform, especially for climate change and renewable energy. And I think that's it.
So both of you are part of the team that founded or sort of formed Africans on STEM. What sort of led to the formation of this organization?
So Sandile and I have been involved with the African Society at Cambridge, and just in the network of African students at Cambridge. And within that space, we found that there was always conversation about different topics, mostly relating to sort of culture or the arts, and then politics is also a big one, and development, and all of those types of topics. And, you know, as scientists ourselves, and as people who love science, we always saw that there was a gap there where there wasn't always space to talk about science and what scientists have done, what science can contribute to the continent or the diaspora. And so that was where we saw a gap, and we felt that something could be done to address that. And so it was me, Sandile, and two other Africans in Cambridge who came together and decided to start Africans in STEM as a network for Africans or people who identify as of African descent to sort of come together and network, share our work, and sort of receive some form of mentorship as well.
Yeah, brilliant. And it seems to be sort of really active organization, and especially recently for Black History Month, you've organized a few events, one of which is an exhibition, which has been online and in person, showcasing the work of Black scientists. And I've actually seen it around in my department, and it's been absolutely fascinating to just learn so much about Black scientists. And I love the way that it also, as well as taking current scientists, it also sort of has a historical, you know, some more historical stories of Black science. So Black scientists. So what overall, like, what has the response been to these types of events? There was also a spotlight on Black female scientists as well.
We found, you know, all of the responses that we had were positive. We've gotten so much support from so many people. So I have to mention that our departments, so pharmacology for me and chemistry for Sandile, were also very supportive and very instrumental. So for instance, they would provided, contributed funding towards the printing of the posters for the exhibition. And then we also have the pharmacology graduate committee. We actually co-hosted the panel discussion with them. So they've been incredibly sort of open to working with us and supporting us, and not just our departments, also other science departments in Cambridge. So another one to mention would be the chemical engineering and biotechnology. Actually, since the first symposium, they've just always had our backs, because they let us use their venue actually for free for the first symposium. And ever since then, they've always supported us. Even just online retweeting and all of those things, like, actually is also helpful in terms of getting our message out there. So lots of positive responses. Yes.
And I think just by judging, you know, from social media, especially Twitter, you know, sometimes it's really amazing how you see, I can't say random people, but people from all over who would just comment, retweet, people who just say, oh, wow, we had no idea that such people existed, especially for the exhibition, or how people were very interested in hearing more about the stories of Black female scientists in Cambridge. So yes, definitely positive. And we are grateful that it reached beyond Cambridge and, you know, in many other places where people were connected to what we did.
Yeah. I mean, even from my sort of in my tiny little department, which is the vet school, we had the posters up and just the number of people just looking through them. And like, it was a massive point of conversation and people were talking about it and it was absolutely fascinating. And you're right. It shouldn't be something that we limit to 4 weeks in autumn. You know, it is an everyday, topic that we need to talk about every day. So yeah, I think it's had just in my little world, it's had an impact. So yeah, hopefully it will sort of have impacted the university as a whole as well.
And in terms of people's misconceptions about what the state of science in Africa is, or the kind of misconceptions that people might have about Africa in general, I was just wondering if what your thoughts were on that and your experiences in that regard.
I think one comment I'll just have on that is the meeting we had with Black students here. So it's really looking at people from Africa, who are of African heritage, Caribbean heritage. And I obviously know that, you know, like you said, there's always going to be different experiences. But if we're going to be focusing on Africa, we had a student telling us of their experience here, during their attempt in their department, and they said one of their colleagues, or was it their supervisor, just assumed they wouldn't be able to, you know, operate certain machinery or equipment just because they were from Africa and they wouldn't have had seen it before, or the tone that is used on them, you know, reflects someone who might not be able to do certain things, even if they're just the most minimal of things that anyone can do, just because they are from Africa. So that's another bias that's there, you know, which I guess maybe Black people who may have grown up away from Africa might not necessarily experience, which, I mean, I don't know, but I definitely know it's there from an African context. So yes, I mean, things like that are there. Things like being, like, openly segregated, which is something I experienced when I went to a conference. So it's really not the idea that I'm a student at the University of Cambridge. It's more about, where do I come from? And if I come from Africa, there's a certain, you know, labeling there, despite the university I go to. So yes, it is a problem as well when we're not talking about the dynamics of being African. As well in such spaces. So it's a lot to tackle. There's so many different aspects to bias that are there. So yes, I think it is a problem in some spaces that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. I mean, yes, hopefully the fact that, like, exhibitions like the ones that you've had and people learning more about all the science that has been done by African scientists, hopefully things like that will start to address, like you said, those unconscious biases that maybe aren't really that unconscious, to be honest. And, like, obviously, you know, all the scientists that you've spotlighted, at least in terms of the historical ones, are, you know, people that you would think more people would know about, and whose contributions should have maybe been recognized a bit more at the time or even now as well. So I guess, what do you think in terms of, I mean, it's great that these kinds of exhibitions exist and that people are doing something to kind of raise the bring that recognition back to the people that maybe were overlooked at their time or excluded at their time. But what would you say about the fact that, you know, it's your group that is doing that and it's your organization, and you have to take the time, you know, out of your daily work, your PhD, your what you know, you have to take the time to actually make that, do that work, where maybe perhaps it would be nice if, you know, the institutions that didn't recognize those people did that instead.
Well, for me, it's I guess on one side, I guess Cynthia will be able to maybe come up with something else different to me. But so it's this idea of who should recognize who, you know? So if they were not recognizing us, then don't you think it's our role as well to recognize ourselves to them, you know? And I think that's the part we need to play as well. They may not have recognized them, they may not have profiled them, etc. But if we start that initiation of, here we are, then it becomes more visible. then, you know, there's then that conscious effect or ripple effect that, oh, there are people that exist. Maybe we should then look at the ones in the future or the present, and they will then be able to be profiled later on. But I guess that, you know, now I think we need to be able to support each other as the Black community, celebrate each other, showcase each other. And then, you know, other people will be able to take that up, I guess.
Sort of really exactly what you said, Simone, that has also sort of been on my mind throughout this whole process. Because it has been work, right? Having to sort of do all of that, like, you know, getting those profiles and doing all the work that went into the exhibition. And I think, you know, for me, my hope is that there will come a point where we don't have to do things like this, where, you know, there is no need to highlight Black scientists, because, you know, every scientist would sort of be recognized for their work. So yes, and I think, you know, the support has been great, but, you know, we would like to see more and sort of more initiative from the department, sort of doing these things without, you know, having, you know, a group of Black students initiating the process first. That is what I hope that we can see coming out soon. And even just in terms of, like, you know, when you are lecturing as a professor, sort of looking at the examples that you use in your lectures, like, you can be intentional about who you're choosing to highlight as well. So, I mean, these are little things that people can start doing to sort of change the narrative and address these things. Yeah.
And do you think, because you said that the departments have been quite supportive in terms of, in response to the events that you specifically wanted to run, and I guess that overall these past few months, a lot of universities have been, you know, being more vocal about the things that they've promised to do to address racism within their institution, and overall in terms of the response that universities have given, or at least Cambridge, I guess, is the one that we're most familiar with. Have you seen an actual change in not just like the attitude on paper, but in terms of in practice?
For me, I think it's too early to tell. I think it's too early. We are looking at, for example, Black Lives Matter having been, you know, so pronounced this year. And I think to be able to say that attitudes have changed over the course of, what, 6 months would be naive, I think. But we hope that, you know, it becomes very, you know, fundamental, systematic, and it comes from people who actually have the power to be able to, you know, put out some of these regulations, not, okay, I can't say regulations, but put in place some of these things that really support, accommodate Black people in science. And so, yes, like Cynthia said, as much as we are doing this, it really shouldn't be our role, because we can only do so much as students. You know, we need higher people up there to be able to take this up and do something effective. So hopefully this time next year we'd be saying something different. We'd say, yes, attitudes have changed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think a lot of the work, most of the work that I kind of saw happening, I think, for Black History Month, they were most of the time initiated by Black students in university. So, I mean, our exhibition, but also, I don't know if you saw that Churchill College flew the Pan-African flag. So we know that that was also a member of the African Society who sort of initiated that idea and everything. But I think, you know, a lot of it has been met with support, which is positive. So I think things are going in a positive direction. And I think, like Sandile said, over time, then we'll sort of see sort of more of this attitude change. But I think I am seeing a positive change, because I know that, you know, before all of this, just mentioning race and racism was almost a taboo. And whenever we talk about equality and diversity, it's always about sort of gender equality was what everyone wanted to talk about. But now there is more openness towards talking about racial equality as well. So I think there is a positive trend to this.
Yeah. So it seems like that the hope would be that from starting these conversations and starting to sort of have these types of events, that eventually the university would use its own initiative and run these types of things without it always falling onto those people, you know, that actually, you know, you're doing your PhDs, you want to be able to be doing your PhDs, not having to sort of, you know, run these things yourselves. And fingers crossed that all of this will come together and push the universities to actually, yeah, take the initiative with these things.
The deputy head of our department, when he was going through the posters, you know, he just then sent me an email and said, you know what, I think this is something that we should really be more proactive on, and not just start doing it in October, because I it was something that they hadn't thought of doing this year, but they said definitely we should, you know, start building up, you know, the profiles of the Black students that we have, look at ways that they really need to feel supported. And this has to be an all-month thing, an annual thing, rather than just 1 month and then it's forgotten about. So I'll definitely say it has been positive. And like I said, you know, the idea of us initiating, I think, prompted other people to think and say, you know what, we need to do this as well. And so I'm happy that the projects, you know, had that as a result.
Mm-hmm. And so what are your kind of plans for the future? What are you, because I saw that you were going to have a 2020 symposium, but that's been moved to 2021 because of obviously the situation we're in now, which looked like it was going to be a really excellent set of speakers that you had. Are there other things besides the symposium that, and obviously the exhibitions that you had, that you're looking to expand what you're doing, or the
Yes, so that there's that symposium that we hope to have April 2021. And there's also another event that we're planning on tackling unconscious racial bias in the sciences. So we are hoping that we'll be able to reach, you know, people beyond Cambridge again, the whole of the UK, and having someone who is sort of an expert on, you know, these matters related to unconscious bias in you know, related to racism, because a lot of the bias that is often spoken about is about gender, disability, maybe sexual orientation, which I'm not saying they are not key things, but the idea of racism should really pop up and sort of be separated and put up on its own, because it really has dire consequences when it's not really tackled and seen, you know, from the root cause, other than just looking at it from superficially, which I think a lot of it is being done right now. So yes, we hope to have that, inviting, you know, supervisors who are in touch with Black students, or colleagues who are interested and are in touch with Black students, just so we can talk to them about such biases that may arise and how to be able to you know, sort of minimize them, deal with them, etc. So yes, I'd say those two projects are what we see for ourselves in the future. I think there are other things in the works. Cynthia, do you want to take this one over? Just like our overall vision.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, the main thing is, you know, connecting Africans or Black people in STEM. And I think we're also, I mean, initially we just were hoping to do, you know, a symposium every year, but I think we've seen now that there are just many other things that can be done and many, many other ways to sort of address the issues that Black people in STEM face. And so I think we're at a point where we're just kind of really open to ideas, you know, just when sometimes we just get really cool ideas and then we're like, okay, we're gonna try this. So that was how the Black History Month exhibition came up. We actually had like a small meeting in August just to talk about the whole Black Lives Matter thing and talk with students about how they felt and what they felt was missing. And that was how we then sort of got the idea to do those things for Black History Month. So I think we're just also generally open to ideas. Sometimes people reach out to us to talk about, you know, potential partnerships and collaboration. And so then, you know, things just come up from that. So we're also open.
My desire is to be able to have people who are able to turn their research into some commercialized thing that really is applicable to the developing world. I think it's no secret that most of Africa, most of the Caribbean are termed as the developing world. And I think we need people on the forefront to be able to go along with, you know, whatever revolution we're in. Apparently we're now in the fifth revolution, which I did not know, but yes, you know, we need people who are able to allow those countries to start at that particular revolution instead of us having to go through the entire first, second, third. You know what I mean? Because I feel sometimes that might be the direction that people might want us to go in, but I don't think so. I think we need really good tech. I think we really need good research, and it has to benefit where we are from. We also need to make good linkage with people who are in Africa as well. And I think that's one thing we'd like to see. I know right now we are concentrated at people who are living in the UK and looking at what they will be able to do for their place of heritage. But we also want to see what people from our place of heritage are able to do, even for people here. That works as well. So I think, yes, that would be an outcome I'd love to see.
Yeah, I think I would say the same. Particularly, I think expanding beyond those of us in the UK. I mean, I think, you know, that's what it is now. And like I said, we're sort of open to letting it become what it needs to be. But I think, yes, opening the space more to, you know, Africans in STEM who are also based on the continent. And I think actually with the next symposium, this is something that we can actually achieve, because 2021, we're actually planning to have a virtual symposium. And so with this now, it's a lot easier to get reach people from other parts of the world, just, you know, in one space. So yes, getting more involvement from there as well.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the benefits of this whole situation, is that accessibility to things like that is sort of massively widened, because if it is virtual, then people can just sort of pop in when they can, you know, without sort of requiring sort of international travel and things like that. And so we've talked about going forwards and you know, your hopes for the future. And if people want to get involved in this, if they hear this podcast and they want to get involved, how would they go about that?
So if people want to be involved in terms of participating, we are on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, Africans in STEM. You can just follow us and so select notifications, because I think not everyone who follows us like sees everything that we post for some reason. But if people follow us, then we always post everything on our social media, so they'll get to see what we're doing. But if people would like to sort of help plan, volunteer to help plan events and the things that we organize, then feel free to reach out to us. africansinstem@gmail.com is our email address. And yeah, just we can work out ways that we can collaborate and work together.
And to finally kind of wrap it up, because I see that we're getting close to 1 p.m. in terms of your own experiences in like the community that you formed, maybe what has being part of Africans in STEM kind of given you specifically?
I think it's given, you know, a little bit of a sense of purpose, I think, in terms of, okay, like, why am I here? I think sometimes you ask yourself, why did I come to Cambridge, you know? And I think just being able to do some of these things actually make me realize that, you know what, I'm happy that I'm part of creating such networks. I'm happy that I'm part of, you know, connecting people and helping people feel more supported, feel more represented, etc. And it's also helped me learn a lot about African STEMinists, about just generally Black STEMinists. And that has been really good. The exhibition not only educated people we had as our audience, but it also educated us.
Yeah, definitely. I think I would say the same for myself as well. I've gotten to meet so many people I wouldn't have met otherwise. I think just whisper in my department, you know, there's actually only two Black students. Yes, there are, so, which can feel very isolating. So actually, that's why we're so motivated to do this, right? Being able to see all of these other sort of Black scientists as well just gives you that support. And then in terms of the education, that was big for me because, you know, also prior to the exhibition, like we were also learning as we were sort of doing the project. We didn't know about any of these people either. But we just had to go look them up because we had to produce something for an exhibition. And yeah, I learned so much. There are so many things that, just so many fundamental findings in science that you kind of expect, you know, that this is something that would be recognized and talked about that I was surprised that I didn't know. So that one was really big for me, the education.
It sounds like, you know, it's benefited so many people, including yourselves, and it's just been an absolute pleasure to learn more about it. And we'll definitely be, you know, here watching and supporting as well.
I'm gonna ask, is the online exhibition going to stay online, like for a while, or?
I mean, we were planning to have it on for October, but I mean, it's definitely still up now. I mean, I don't know. I can't say when exactly it would go down, but. Yeah, I think, you know what, I think we'll just leave it as another page. It might not be on the home page when you land, but yes, there we'll keep the tab just still there if people still want to view.
So yeah, so if you're listening and you haven't seen the exhibition yet, feel free to go check it out at africansinstem.co.uk.
Great. So thank you ever so much for chatting with us today. Great. It's been really, really interesting.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you want to learn more about the work that Africans in STEM is doing, then please do check their website. It's in the description of the podcast. And we've also linked on all their social media channels. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe so that you get all the updates on when our episodes are released. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, feel free to get in touch via email, Twitter, Instagram, any kind of social media you like. And yeah, hope you all have a great week.